Welcome to the Kanakuk Podcast. We hope you'll be encouraged to have an I'm Third approach as you navigate marriage, family, leadership, and spiritual growth. If you're new to our conversation, welcome. It's so great to have you. Let's jump in. Welcome to the Kanakuk Podcast. We are so glad that you're joining us today. My name is Rachel Sparks. I'm here with my co-host, Mr. Joe White.
Yeah, man.
Joe, I heard a rumor.
Yeah, what?
I heard that you are addicted to chocolate. Is that true?
Oh, how'd you know that? 100%. Yes. Chocolate is my taste buds are made for chocolate. What about yours? What are yours made for?
I mean, I don't think I'll ever say no to chocolate. who would? You're crazy if you would.
Yeah, Hershey's Kisses. That's just pure chocolate.
Oh,
My favorite thing. Hey, talk about chocolate, man. You know how chocolate just, I don't know, it just lights me up. And mm-hmm. it just makes my taste buds so happy. Well, this little guest we have today is like a sweet Hershey's bar chocolate. And she just lights up the world. She is a firecracker. Her name today is Jenny McClendon. Maiden name Jenny Simbrick. She was a counselor way back when, and I remember her from how many years ago, Jenny? I have no idea. But she was here for several summers, and can't wait for you to know her. You know, when you see Jenny, you just light up. She's got a smile that just will melt the ice caps, and you just want to be her best friend when you meet her, and you want to get to know her. Jenny, welcome to the Kanakuk Podcast.
Thank you, Joe. It's so good to be on it and see ya.
We are so glad you're here. We can't wait to spend a little bit of time with you and get to know you in the next few minutes. I think our listeners have to hear that one of the most incredible things about Jenny, and probably, I'm sure, the most obvious thing about her is that Jenny has 10 children in her family, and I cannot wait to just hear just about your life as a mom, and I really believe that there's got to be so much wisdom and life experience that you can use as encouragement to so many other moms out there, and really excited to hear about that today.
Well, I am very happy to be on and so excited to, I mean, I'm just praying that the Lord will speak through me because truly my life is 100% all about Him. And even to where I am today, you know, with 10 kids. And anyways, I'm very happy to be on here talking with you guys.
Awesome. Well, before we get to talk a little bit about your life as a mom, you were living in Arizona when you first started working at camp. Tell us how you heard about camp and share a little bit about what camp has meant in your life.
I went to college in Texas at TCU, and we know Joe has a long time history in Texas, maybe not at TCU, but
yeah.
And they were interviewing one, you guys were interviewing at TCU, and I'd heard about Kanakuk, and I heard how great it was, but I'd never gone there because in Arizona, back then in the early 90s, I didn't know about Kanakuk. And so I interviewed with this amazing, incredible person who I had no idea who the person was, but I just remember he sat there with his hand here and asked me questions, and I just had this incredible, I don't know how long the interview was, with this person. And I was so like, it was just a God moment. And I left and I was like, I don't know who just interviewed me, but I'm so excited. And it was Joe White. I didn't even know who Joe White was at the time. And Joe and I just like hit it. I left the conversation going on a mission trip with him to Haiti. Like, that's how we left the conversation. And it was just this, like I said, it was just this incredible encounter that was definitely the Lord with Joe White. And so that's how I found out about Kanakuk. So that first year, I went to K2 the first summer. And then the next summer, because I was already a junior by that time, my final year of college, I was a UC at K-Extreme. I believe, do you guys still K-Extreme? It was in Shell Knob.
No.
Anyways, I did that. I went on the mission trip with Joe. I met his daughters. I met Courtney and I met Jamie Joe. And nothing changed my life more. And I can say this 100% in my 50th of life. Nothing changed my life more than that encounter with Joe and going to Kanakuk. It opened my eyes to a level of relationship with Jesus And I'd always loved Jesus, but it was a whole new world to me once I experienced that.
And so, Rachel, she went home as a college student and packed 500 Christmas gifts. We had 5,000 kids that we were taking care of. And we would take them Christmas gifts every Christmas. And so we had to go pack all these, you know, gift bags so every kid could have a Christmas gift. And in Haiti, they don't really have a Christmas because they're so poor. But all these little Connecticut kids would always have Christmas. And we would dress up like Santa Claus. And we would go into the schools and we would go bananas. We'd take a bunch of Connecticut kids and a few nutty counselors like Jenny, and we would just go bananas. And we make Christmas so big for these school kids. And Jenny, I was blown away that you went home and packed 500 gift bags. Still remember it, girl?
Yeah, it was a huge experience. I had always wanted to be a missionary, so that was my first encounter with the show. And it was, yeah, it's hard to even explain what it did inside of me. So very special.
Wow. And how many years did you end up working at camp then after that?
Just for those two summers. So I worked the summer after my junior year, the summer after my senior year, and then I graduated. I always wanted to be a medical missionary. So I went straight into PA school after college. And once I was in PA school, I wasn't able to work because it was year round. So it just two summers. I wish it was more.
And so, Jenny, I remember talking to you in that interview so long ago at TCU. I just saw so much joy inside of you. And today, you sparkle more today, which is after 10 kids. You sparkle more today than you even sparkled back then in college. Have you always been as joyful? Or have you had circumstances that it increased the joy or challenged your joy?
I think the Lord, I was definitely born with a certain outlook on life, you know, just an optimistic. I've known Jesus since I was 8. So, you know, you always have a certain level of joy, but definitely my first encounter with pregnancy, I had sextuplets. And in that, I was super sick, went into heart failure, almost died. And I think when you have an encounter like that, where you're just like, I remember having a conversation with the Lord, just begging him because I wanted to be my kid's mom. You know, when you have those moments, you're just, it changes everything. And I think from that time on, I've just been so thankful that the Lord, through such an incredible encounter, gave me life and allowed me to be a mom to my children. It still makes me cry.
Okay, we just have to back up for a second because you just gently slipped in there, and I want our listeners to really understand the fact that you said you have sextuplets. And I mean, just overall, you have 10 children, which is such an accomplishment, but you had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 kids at once, which is just amazing. A complete miracle.
Yes.
Please, yes. I'd love to hear a little bit about that journey of just getting to that point, hearing that you were going to have sextuplets. Just a little bit about that journey that made you a mom.
Yeah, well, I was trying to get pregnant, and it took me about 3.5 years. In those 3.5 years, I had a couple miscarriages, and I just always wanted to be a mom. Always. I was already a PA, finished with school. And so I was prescribed, you know, they wanted to do in vitro, and I was like, no, that's too much. It's too expensive. Not doing that. So they gave me a prescription. It was $60. It was called Follistim, and it's a shot you give yourself for 10 days. And
it worked.
It worked. And so I had no idea I was having so many. I actually got really sick. I got something called ovarian hyperstimulation. I knew I was pregnant, but I was like, there's no way. I figured I was going to have another miscarriage because I was so sick. So when I went in for the first ultrasound, it was December 29th of 2006. I remember the date because it was kind of an important date. You know, the doctor's doing an ultrasound, and she's kind of, her mouth drops, and she's like, oh, you're having multiples. And I'm like, what do you mean? And I said, twins. And she's like, I don't know. I said, triplets. She's like, I don't know. We have to count. And I'm like, what do you mean? You have to, like, I was just like sobbing, like, I didn't know what that meant. So she was counting 1, 2, 3. She got to 4 and stopped. And I'm just sobbing. And she got to 5. I'm sobbing even harder. I'm like, okay. And she goes, oh, you have six. And I was hysterical because I didn't even know that was a thing or could happen because I didn't, you know, do in vitro or anything. And the first thing she told me, she goes, well, you can't carry them. She goes, they won't survive. And I said, what do you mean? She said, you have to reduce. Oh. And I'm like, what do you mean? And she goes, you have to reduce down to three, if not two, they won't make it. And I said, and that made me cry harder. And I was like, I'm not God. I cannot do that. She said, okay, well, you're going to go over to the NICU right now. They're going to tell you all the stats of what's going to happen if you don't reduce, which it, obviously it didn't matter because I wasn't going to do it, but it was just kind of the reality was like, this might be another field. I was like, I don't know if they're going to die. I'm going to die. We're all going to die. I mean, you just don't know. Mm-hmm. And so that was in Las Vegas because I lived in Arizona at the time in Lake Havasu City. So then I went to Phoenix a week later. I found a very well-renowned perinatologist who I think, you know, he believed in life, like giving life a chance. And he knew and he just sat down and he's like, I've never delivered sex tablets before, but he delivered like quadruplets and stuff. And he said, I really believe we can do this. He said, but it's going to be the hardest thing you ever do in your whole life. You will hate me because I'm going to push you so far because I'm not just thinking about you, but the other six lives that are involved. And so that started our journey towards, and we went for it.
Wow.
What was the most difficult moment in childbirth? What can you describe a little bit about your physical condition?
Well, the goal was to make it to 24 weeks so that they would all survive. So I made it there. Then the next goal was 28 weeks or 26 weeks, I can't remember, so that they could have lungs that were ready to breathe. Well, I was contracting in labor all the time, so they put me on this crazy medication to prevent me from contracting. I started contracting at 16 weeks. Anyways, I almost got to 31 weeks. And I legitimately thought I was dying. I felt like I was dying, but I wasn't going into labor because I was on all this medication and all the, you know, and I just told the doctor, I was like, I feel like I'm dying. You have to take them out of me today. And it was a Thursday. And he said, can you make it to Monday? He's like, I'll have all the best doctors and blah, 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 blah. You know, because usually people just go into labor at 19 weeks, 20 weeks, 21 weeks. And, you know, and I hear I'm almost 31 weeks. And so I said, I can make it till Monday, but I was really sick in the head and just like felt like I was not well. So at 8 o'clock in the morning on June 11th, they wheeled me in there, you know, and there's like 50 people in the room. We had a TV show at the time. So there's all the cameras and all the doctors and all the nurses and all the everything. And they pulled out one every minute, 821, 822, 820, and between every baby that they pulled out, I was vomiting like crazy and just sick. And then they pulled out the last baby. They actually lost count. They thought they only had, anyways, that was a big thing. And then probably within 10 minutes, I just could not breathe and was gasping for air. And so they didn't know what's going on. So they took me to the ICU, found out I was in heart failure. I was in the ICU for a week, very, very, very sick. I didn't get to see the babies for a couple of days. But, you know, the whole thing was just crazy journey. I don't know. There's just so many parts of it. There's so many, like, I have so many stories. I got this thing called vestibular neuritis. I couldn't see correctly. I thought I had a stroke. Like, I really wanted to, after I had the babies, I wanted to buy a plane ticket and move halfway around the world because I thought I couldn't, there's no way I could be their mom. There's no way I could care for them. There's only one of me and they're sick. I mean, just everything that you could imagine, you know, hit me. So it was quite a hard journey during that, you know, season.
Jenny, during that journey, maybe you did or didn't have an encounter with the Lord, but if you did, in the worst part, the intense part of the pain and sickness in that journey, what was your encounter with the Lord like?
Yeah, so I, you know, of course, when you look back on your life and you see what the Lord did, you don't always know it while you're in it, but I can definitely see my 20s. I was, you know, single most of my 20s. I was working as a PA. Well, I was in college PA school, and I really did love the Lord. Like, we had a real sweet relationship. I wanted to get married so bad. So first you have all that, like, praying, trusting. And I, like I said, I did every Bethmore Bible study that there was to be done. I all of it. Like, I just loved my time with the Lord. Well, then I, you know, find myself pregnant with sextuplets, you know, on bed rest, super, super sick, difficult delivery. And then I have six babies. I mean, there was a good season of my life in my 30s that I couldn't even open my Bible for a second. And I feel like the Lord really sustained me. Like, he prepared me in my 20s for what I was going through in my 30s. He really did. And he was just by my side every step of the way. And so that was a really sweet time with him to know that, like, you know, I think sometimes as Christians, we're like, I have to do this and I have to do this and I have to do this. And all those things are great. But sometimes you literally can't do that. And the Lord is still loves you. He still loves you. He's still with you. He's everything. And so I think of that verse, Ephesians 3:19, I think, you know, that can we comprehend the love, his love that surpasses knowledge, that we're filled with all the fullness of God. And that's what I feel like, just comprehending how much he loves us, that we're filled with all the fullness of God. Yeah, that was kind of my journey through my 20s into my 30s.
Which, it's so fun. I love that you said that, that the Lord used your 20s to even prepare you for this big moment in life that you had no idea, obviously, in your 20s was coming. But what an encouragement, yeah, even just to our friends that are being faithful in their teenage years and their 20s. And I know and have dear friends that are longing for maybe that husband or longing for that family. And what an encouragement even, yeah, of that their time is so valuable and so purposeful. And that the Lord could use that to so many measures of things that they don't even know are coming in their life.
Absolutely. 100%.
Jenny, we're so thankful that you joined us today. And there's so much of your story that we want to take a treasure hunt and go on another adventure with you. And so if you would be willing to return to us for a second podcast, we'd love to continue your story. Would you be okay with that, Jenny?
Yes, I'd love to.
Well,
that'd be amazing.
We're going to do that. And so let me just close today. And moms, I know you're hanging on every word as I am. And obviously, I'm not a mom, but I probably get more out of the show than anybody. And so for all of us men that admire moms, admire our moms, admire our wives, and those of us who are out there planning to be moms and dads, just thinking about you. So we hope to see you the next time we do the Kennecook podcast. Lord, I thank you for our dear friend Jenny, and thank you, Lord, for her words of wisdom that just exude through her journey. And Lord, I just pray that you'll continue to work through her and her marriage and her 10 kids. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
We hope today's conversation left you encouraged, strengthened, and empowered. If you haven't had a chance, please subscribe to our podcast today to stay up to date with the latest episodes. If this podcast has helped you in any way, please consider rating us, writing a review, or sharing it with others so we can continue to build you up with an I'm Third approach to marriage, family, leadership, and spiritual growth. For more information about the podcast, visit kennecookpodcast.com. And for more information about Kennecook, you can visit kennecook.com.